welcome back to our shiur. As we mentioned, this year we will be focusing our attention on the laws of Shabbos. That was by popular request from the members of our shiur. So last week we had an introductory shiur. This week, once again, we'll have slightly of an introductory shiur. I want to bring to everyone's attention that our schedule of shiurim is going to be coming out in the emails in the next day or two. It's being held up, unfortunately, because some of our speakers, I don't know, just couldn't get me the information a few weeks ago, but now hopefully they're done. And for those who might be in Eretz Yisrael over Thanksgiving, you can certainly be welcome to join our program that we're having there. It was amazing last year. For those who want to join, there's more information on the website, or you can email me. It was very, very special. We had about 60, 70 people. And for those who might be interested, you certainly can join us. So let's begin with our discussion on the importance of learning the laws of Shabbos. And the reason why it's important to learn the laws of Shabbos, as we will see, is because Shabbos is considered to be an extremely important part of everything that we do. So we begin, there's a Gemara Maseches Chagiga, where the Gemara tells us that the laws of Shabbos are one of those areas of halacha that are keharayim hatluyim besara. If you look through all of Chumash, you will not find many psukim that outline, that detail what exactly the laws of Shabbos are all about. In Chumash, you will not find the laws of Muktzah. In Chumash, you will not find many of the details of the laws of Shabbos the way we keep it. And yet, we keep Shabbos as we keep it, as we observe it, even though the psukim don't really tell us all of those intricate details. So the Gemara says this is why it's important that a person not only read the psukim in Chumash, which many of us might not have done either, but it's important not just to read the psukim in Chumash, but also to have a deeper understanding of all that comes along with the psukim in Chumash as well, and all the understanding that we need to know before properly observing a Shabbos. Shabbos being observed properly is really not an easy task at all. So you'll say, we do it every week, and we're probably doing it right, but you'll be surprised as you go through the laws of Shabbos, and myself included, you come to learn more and more that keeping a Shabbos properly is really not an easy feat at all. It is famous that in the Musar yeshivas, they used to have certain yeshivas in Europe that were very focused on Musar. And it is told over that the Talmidim every year in those yeshivas used to take upon themselves a Kabbalah at the beginning of the year. They used to take upon themselves an annual resolution of something they were going to be careful about in that particular year. So I did read that the very famous Mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva, Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein, who used to be part of the Musar movement, obviously, in his Sefer Aryeh Cheskel, he writes, Zachruni b'Kelem. I remember when I was a young child in Kelem, and that's where the Musar Yeshiva really was situated. He says, B'shana harishona b'yosi sham, my first year that I was there in the yeshiva, Haisa ha-kabbalah ha-merkazis v'yom ha-kippurim. So he says, I heard so much about the Musar Yeshiva, and I was so excited to be a part of it. And here I am, my first year, Yamim Naraim, and I'm waiting to see what is going to be the great resolution of the yeshiva for this year. What are we going to work on? And he says, I was surprised to see that year, the Kabbalah of the yeshiva was the Hizar B'Shmiras HaShabbos. This year we're going to be careful to keep Shabbos the way we're supposed to. And you'll say, sounds like a very silly resolution. You probably were doing that your whole life. And the answer is, it's not so silly, because it's not so easy. And this is something to really focus our attention on. Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, who was the famous Rosh Yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva also, right after Yom Kippur every year, he would write down something that he took upon himself, that he thought about on Yom Kippur, that over this year he was going to be a little bit more careful about. And he wrote in his personal notes, Lishmar b'chol ha'yecholas, he said, this year I'm going to be careful, Lishmar b'chol ha'yecholas, to guard with all of my ability, V'lizkar es ha'shabbos, to remember the Shabbos, b'shvisaso, b'kdushaso, ta'anugo u'chavodo. I'm going to try my best to do whatever I can to highlight the importance and the significance of Shabbos and to keep it as best as I possibly can. So, if the great Rabbanim, who were the part of the Musar movement, felt that it was important that they take upon themselves that we are going to keep Shabbos as best as we can, I guess it would make sense that those who are also not on their level should also try their best to do whatever it is that they can to strengthen the observance of Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Shem Olam, and the Chafetz Chaim, I'm so happy that I came across this Chafetz Chaim, because when I was looking for, I had remembered hearing about the Chafetz Chaim, and then I was flipping through the Sefer Shem Olam the other night to try to find this exact passage, and it was not easy to find, but I came across something that was actually very helpful to me yesterday when I was meeting with a family who lost a very close relative, and it was very helpful to me to have this Chafetz Chaim, because I came across a footnote in that same piece where the Chafetz Chaim writes something that was extremely relevant to that family. So you never know. That's the downside of using a computer, that sometimes you don't flip to the wrong page, so you don't pick up the thing that you weren't supposed to see. But here, I had the great fortune of seeing this. So the Chafetz Chaim writes there, Begodol Malos Kedushas HaShabbos. The Chafetz Chaim writes about how important it is and how great it is, the significance and the centrality of Shabbos. So he writes the following. And he sets it up for us to try to build an understanding of how severe the laws of Shabbos really are. So writes the Chafetz Chaim, we can all learn it together. It's the first entry on the source sheet. Chomer Ha'avon Sheyesh Be'Isser HaShabbos. Let's try and appreciate what exactly is the severity of one who violates the laws of Shabbos. Halo Yodua. We know Sheyesh Kama Chalkei Onshim Al Ha'avonos. You look through the pages in Chumash and you'll find that there are varying degrees of punishment that a person can be administered when they violate one of the laws of the Torah. Yeshin Yanim, he says, there are some Avera Shekesha Adam over Aleim, when a person violates that Avera, who rak Isra Sebel Vad. All you have done is violated a positive commandment. You didn't sit in the Sukkah. Okay, you violated a positive commandment. You didn't blow the shofar this year. Okay, so you violated a positive commandment. We don't punish you for that. It's between you and God. You'll have to figure out what to do. Chomer Mizeh, the next step above that, the next more severe Avera that one can violate is Ha'avono Sheyesh Aleim Isra Lav. One can violate something not just by the fact that they have now not sat in the sukkah or not blown the shofar, not perhaps performed a mitzvah saseh, but one can now violate something which is a little bit worse, which means you can violate a negative commandment. You can violate a lo saseh. So you speak Lashon Hara. The Torah says don't speak Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim tells us you violate 35 Yisurim every time you utter a word of Lashon Hara. I don't like to think about that Chafetz Chaim because it's frightening. But anyway, so you have some averus. Again, you speak Lashon Hara, no one's going to give you lashes, no one's going to punish you. Again, it's between you and God. But obviously that is something that is far worse than not sitting in the sukkah. There, not sitting in the sukkah, you have just passively violated a mitzvah saseh. You have not performed what you were supposed to do. Here, you are actively violating a negative commandment. Chomer mizeh, he says, you go a little bit further, and the next more severe punishment that you can suffer is Sheyesh Aleim Chiyuv Kari. Sometimes you violate an Aver which is not like Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara, even though the Chafetz Chaim tells us you violate 30 Averis every time you talk Lashon Hara, but still you have something which, if you violate it, you will be punished with Karis, which obviously is far worse. Chamer Mizeh, on top of that is Ha'avono Sheyesh Aleim Chiyuv Misa Bidei Adam. There are some things that a person can violate where we will administer capital punishment. The Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim will administer a capital punishment to the person who violates this Avera. And that is V'hu Misas Chenek. The most preliminary aspect of Misa, of administering punishment, of the death penalty in a Beis Din is Chenek, which means the person is strangled. Chamer Mizeh, he says, then we have somebody who is killed B'Sayif. More importantly than that, he says, you have someone who's killed B'Sreifa. Chamer Mikulam, the most stringent of all them is the person who's administered the punishment of Skila, which means the person comes to the Beis Din, they put them on trial, turns out they were found guilty of whatever crime they're being accused of, and they are punished now with Skila, which means stoning. Va'al Shabbos, halo yadua. The Chafetz Chaim builds all this up and tries to frighten us because he says, when you see it in this progression, when you understand all of this in the context, that Shabbos is really the end of the line, because you can have a person who violates a mitzvah saseh, you can have a person who violates a lo saseh, you can have a person who gets malchus, who gets lashes, you can have a person who comes to Beis Din and gets one of the less severe punishments. But the most severe of them all, he says, the Torah tells us, is the chiyuv skila, when somebody is stoned in a Beis Din. And after all, he says, that is what a person gets if they are found guilty of violating the laws of Shabbos. Should that not teach us, says the Chafetz Chaim, how central the laws of Shabbos should be to all of us? And he says, I'm not saying this to frighten anyone, I'm saying it just so people understand how important Shabbos is in the context of all that we do in our religion. The Chafetz Chaim goes further to point out as well that we have in Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Gemara Maseches Chulin, where the Shulchan Aruch says that a person who violates an Avera, let's say you have someone who violates the worst of Averis, or in my mind, what I would say, what is the defining characteristic of a Orthodox, of a practicing Jew today? Somebody who eats kosher, somebody who keeps Taras HaMishpacha, somebody who keeps Shabbos, I would assume, right? You have somebody who keeps the basic tenets of Jewish faith that we all believe in. That's probably the defining characteristics of Shabbos, and of a Jew, of an Orthodox, of a practicing Jew. And yet, you would say, If you have somebody who goes and eats non-kosher food all the time, we still consider them to be a Jew. They've done something wrong. They have what to work on, but obviously they're still considered to be a Jew. There's no question about it. If you have somebody who neglects the mitzvah of Taharas HaMishpacha, doesn't use the mikveh at all, violating Averis every time they're in their home and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, yes, they may have done something wrong, but they still have the title of a Jew. They don't lose that status. And yet the Gemara tells us that HaMachal Shabbos, somebody who purposely violates the laws of Shabbos, Dino Ka'akum. The Gemara says, if you violate the laws of Shabbos with intent, we assume that you have lost your status as a Jew, so much so that the Gemara says, Yeno Yain Nesech. If that person handles the wine, we consider that wine to be wine that is not able to be consumed any longer. So writes the Chafetz Chaim, should this also not show us how for some reason Shabbos is considered to be in a different category than everything else? And I would have said, really? Shabbos is so high on the totem pole? What about Taharas HaMishpacha? What about keeping kosher? That comes up every single day. But yet the Gemara tells us, and this is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Shabbos seems to be in a category of its own. And when one violates the laws of Shabbos, we assume, Dino Ka'akum, he loses the status of a Jew. And that person now has to be looked at very differently. And we have to figure out how we're going to deal with them with regard to other areas of Jewish life and how they're going to fit in and what do we do with their wine and other things. Doesn't mean we look down on such a person. Obviously not. But it means the status may change, which is a very surprising comment. So Reb Shimshon Pinkus has in his beautiful Sefer Nefesh Shimshon, you look at the second entry here where he writes, we have, the Chumash tells us the story of the Mekoshe Sha'etzim. The story of the Mekoshe Sha'etzim is a very strange, it's a very unusual story. So let's read the psukim together. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar. You have the Jewish people are traveling in the desert. Vayimtzu ish, and they find a person, Mekoshe Sha'etzim b'yom ha-Shabbos. They find a person who is, what is he doing exactly? Gathering the sticks. What's wrong with gathering sticks on Shabbos? Not exactly clear what the violation was. Not really so clearly defined as to what the prohibition is to gather the sticks, but that's what they saw him doing. So they had a group of people who had found this young man who was doing this terrible avera on Shabbos, gathering the sticks, and they bring him al Moshe vel Aaron vel kol ha'eda. They present him before the Bezdin, before Moshe and Aaron. Vayanichu osa b'mishbar. They put him in jail. Kilo perish maya asalo, because Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't really know how to deal with such a person. What do we do? The person has violated the laws of Shabbos, but I don't really know how you're supposed to react when that happens. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, so God responds to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Mos yumasa ish. That person's life must be taken away. That person is not deserving of life. We are supposed to administer capital punishment for the terrible transgression that they have violated. Have the whole congregation, have the whole community go outside and stone the person. Well, if that's what God said, the entire community goes out. And he dies, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Writes of Shimshon Pinkus. Be'emes, the truth is, the second paragraph. Lepele hadover. This is shocking. Ad kama hechmira ha-Torah al shmiras ha-Shabbos Kodesh. Look how far the Torah goes. Look how exaggerated the response is to somebody who doesn't keep the laws of Shabbos. Mashalom atzinu dugmaso b'shum mitzvah shabbat Torah. We don't find a parallel to this by any other mitzvah that the Torah commands us to keep. For example, he says, Hainu, shal pa'ula kala shabakala. Someone did something that seems so insignificant. All you did was gather a bunch of sticks and did nothing with them. You just left a pile of sticks in the middle of the field. Sachakol, what did I do? Less of kama eitzim asada, and kvar ha'nisha ha'torah ba'onesh ha'chamer biyoter. Look, the Torah's response is with absolute intolerance. The Torah cannot tolerate this at all. Tells us, eradicate that person, do not have them be a part of the community, administer capital punishment for doing what? For gathering a bunch of sticks? Vehare, he says, let's take a parallel case that I would have said should be far worse than what this man did in the desert. Vaharei, Misha Yisrov Sefer Torah Rachmana Litzlan. Take for example, God forbid, you would have somebody walks into a shul, opens up the Aron Kodesh in front of the whole shul, takes the Sefer Torah, puts it outside in a big bonfire in front of the entire community and burns the Sefer Torah. You would say there's nothing that could be really more offensive than that. Nothing that can be worse than doing an act like that. That's what I would have said. And he writes, Hare Misha Yisrov Sefer Torah Rachmana Litzlan. Imagine you have somebody who does that. Imkol Shemus HaKodesh Shebo, with all of the holy names of God and all the psukim, Eino Chayiv Misa. We don't kill that person. Even though it's an extremely offensive act, even though it's something none of us would ever dream of doing, but yet he writes, the person would not be punished with the death penalty. Misho chazir metamtem es kol nafsho. You have somebody who goes to a non-kosher restaurant deliberately, not someone who doesn't know. Somebody who does know and chooses to go anyway. And says, well, I don't care anymore about kashrus. And they eat the most treif of food that you can ever imagine. So he writes, not only did they violate an avera, but also metamtem es kol nafsho. We know that it puts impurity into your soul. Even somebody who murdered somebody else. Even though that person might be administered the death penalty as well. The punishment is not as severe as the one that is given to someone who's Mechal Shabbos. When you have somebody who does something seemingly so insignificant, somebody who just walks into a bedroom and turns the light on, somebody who stands in a desert and just gathers a bunch of sticks, right? You have a soup, and who likes the fat on top of the soup? None of us. I mean, it tastes good, but it's not healthy. So you go and you just scrape off the top layer and you separate that. Chayavim skila? What did I do? What did I do? Is that less than the person who may have burned the Sefer Torah in front of a whole community? Can that be? Mikal Makom, and he says, therefore, we must understand and explain why it is that the Torah seems to be going on such a limb. And it's considered such a serious offense for someone who violates the laws of Shabbos. Next paragraph. Amnam. Mashalama davar doma lemi shahaisa lo chabura al yado o raglo. Somebody who gets hurt on their hand, somebody who gets hurt on their leg. Veharofe kava shatzarach linateach es hamaka bikdei lerafosa. You have a terrible infection. Rachmana litzlan. And it gets to a point where the doctors say, look, this infection is going to infect the rest of the body. And if we don't amputate this finger, your whole body can get destroyed. So that's the decision. They come for the surgery. So imagine, they come for the surgery, and it turns out they have to amputate a certain part of the hand, and the doctor makes a mistake. And instead of doing the surgery on the right hand, the doctor amputates the finger on the left hand. Let's say he just does it a few centimeters off from the place where it was supposed to be. Takes a biopsy, but it didn't get what it was supposed to do. You do an amputation, but you didn't get rid of the infection that you were supposed to do, so now you have to cut off a second finger. Or now you have to do another incision, another operation. Obviously, we know this can create a person great discomfort. And the person is now not going to be able to function the same way that they always were able to, obviously. This is not of catastrophic nature. You still have life. You still have the ability to go on with life. So yes, unfortunately, you're missing two fingers that maybe you didn't have to have amputated, but life can still move on. Life can still move on. You won't be the same, but you can still live life. Lo kein adavar, he says, this would not be the case, b'nituach lev patuach o b'moach. Imagine somebody has an open heart surgery, and the doctors have to do something, and by mistake, they just make a mistake 2 centimeters. Come on, what's the big deal? It's just a heart. Instead of taking out something else, they took out the heart by mistake. Instead of, when they were doing an incision on a brain surgery, instead of doing something on this part of the brain, they took out just a few centimeters, a few inches away, a different part of the brain. Who would ever think like that? That's a mistake of catastrophic proportions. That's a tragedy. That person cannot go on with life. And he writes, "Bimakomos elu, in those very sensitive parts of the body, shehem lifnai v'lifnim shel ha'adam, those are the most important parts of the body, she'esham mikar hachiyas, your brain and one's heart and one's lungs are the most important part of what we are, u'mishkan ha'nefesh, hatos o hastia hakala biyoter, even the slightest mistake, 1 inch, 1 centimeter off, asuya lahavi ata miyad ason b'nefesh, that can cause a person to have such a catastrophe. That can take a person's life just from a tiny mistake that perhaps on a different part of the body would not have made such a tragic difference." And he writes, this is the way we can understand what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is the central part of what a Jew is all about. Shabbos is the heart, Shabbos is the brain, Shabbos is the lungs. It is the focal point of Nikras Me'ein HaBracha. Shabbos is the wellspring of where all of our blessings come from. HaMa'ayan V'HaMekar L'chol Kedusha U'Bracha. This is where we get all of our spiritual sustenance from. B'Shorei HaShechina HaKedosha, on Shabbos we have an opportunity to bask in the glory of the Shechina. V'Hi Mekar Achiyus L'Nefesh HaYehudi, that is where we have the opportunity to really reawaken our spirit. V'Lachein, and therefore, Im hiskalkala eitzel ha'adam shmira Shabbos, af pistia kala bioter, if a person even makes the slightest mistake in the way that they observe the Shabbos, hareiz emum pnimi be'omek halev, that is a penetrating mistake that can affect the entirety of your life. And he writes, umishkan haneshama besoch pnimi yuso, umemela, and because that is our perspective, Ba ha'ason ha'chamur biyoter. Why is it that Shabbos is so different than anything else? Because our perspective needs to be that Shabbos is like the heart, like the lungs, like the brain of a person. And the same way, if there was the slightest mistake when dealing with any of those organs, a person's life would be dramatically changed forever. And life would never, ever be the same. That's the way we have to approach Shabbos. And that's why the Torah goes so far in the way it reacts to somebody who violates the laws of Shabbos. And the truth is that the Chafetz Chaim himself, in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos in the Mishnah Berurah, Chafetz Chaim makes note of this same idea as well. Turn the page. Tzarech Ladas writes the Chafetz Chaim, Ki aramach mitzvah shebetorah shehitel Hashem yizbarach ala adam. The Zochram u'Leshamram, the 248 positive mitzvahs that God instructed all of us to keep, Hu neged ramacha evarim shebaadam, those are supposed to be in some way parallel to the 248 parts of the body that we have. U'kemoshe be'evarim, and the same way in our bodies, nimtza evarim shonim, we have different organs that contribute differently to the body. And if you've spoken to a doctor or if you are in the medical profession, you know how intricate the body is, how many things need to come together in order for the body to function properly in the way that we want a healthy person to function. Yesha'in ha'neshama tiluyah bahem. As much as we know you need so many components to come together for a body to function properly, there are some that are not as critical. And if the body might have a deficiency in that area, the body can still function. We can do something to figure out how to make you bypass that issue. Kama hayad v'haregel u'chadome. She'afim yechasru, writes the Chafetz Chaim, even if a person maybe was born without an arm or a leg or a limb or some part of the body that most healthy people use on a day-to-day basis. Afsha hefsid hu rav me'od me'od. Let us not downplay how terrible that is, how tragic that is. However, afal pike nikra rak b'shem balmum. The person can live life. V'yeshal chisronosav. However, he says there are some parts of our body that if we don't have them, eino yachal lichyos al panei teva, we simply cannot live. We don't have the ability to live. Kigon shenitas rosho o shenikras segar libo, if a person has a clot in an artery. So you'll say it's something so small, so insignificant. But if it's closed, and blood can flow through that very important artery, that will terminate the person's life. Sheshamhu mekar chayim. That's where life really starts. And that's where life really ends. Kainu gam kain b'inyanei mitzvahs Hashem yizbarach she'aleim gam kain kasuv. This is the same when we think about our attitude toward all of the mitzvahs that we are instructed to do. After all, the Torah says, Asher yaseh ha'adam v'chai bahem. The Torah says, these are the instructions, these are the mitzvahs, these are the rules, and if you keep them, v'chai bahem, this is the way you will have life. V'ne'emar, and we're also told, ki hu chayecha ba'orech yamecha, that this is what gives us life. This is what gives us spiritual sustenance. V'od psukim harbe kahena hamorim lanu, all of these psukim and chumash teach us, ki ikir chayi hanefesh la'olam haba, that the way that we gain ourselves access and entry into Olam Haba is tali b'kiyam haTorah, is based solely on the way that we keep to the laws of the Torah, to the instruction manual. Yesh mitzvahs, there are some, sha'afilu and pasha ha'adam va'avar aleihem. Look, we cannot be perfect and we know that. And guess what? There is, I'm sure, no one in the world whose body is completely perfect either. Everybody has something. Maybe it's not a major imperfection. Everybody's got a pimple here or a beauty mark over there or something that makes their body perhaps look a little bit imperfect. Or maybe something a little bit more significant than that, internally. And so too writes the Chafetz Chaim, we are never going to be perfect. That is not a realistic expectation. We all have some deficiency in our way that we observe. Adam ein sadik baretz asher yasa tova lo yechta. There is no one who can live life without making a mistake, without doing something wrong. But let's make sure that we zero in on which mistakes we are perhaps making. Let's make sure and see what illnesses do we suffer from. Let's figure out, are they ones that we can deal with? Or are they ones that perhaps might cause catastrophic damage to our lives? And he says, Yesh mitzvos, there are some she'afilu im pasha ha'adam va'avar aleihem. There are some mitzvos that if a person violates them, hu nikra la'olam haba rak b'shem balmum. So you walk into olam haba limping a little bit. You won't get the front seat. Okay. I can be in the third row. I was once at a levaya of a very special person. I remember someone said there, I hope when I get to olam haba I'll be able to look with a telescope and see this person. And it was a very sweet comment and a beautiful praise, but it was a little bit of an offensive comment. That's not the way we live life. Who wants to be in Olam Haba looking through a telescope at great people? I want to be that great person. And guess what? I can be that great person. And every one of us can be that great person. The same way all of us can be living life. The same way all of us can deal with our impediments and deal with our health issues and deal with our imperfections in our physical bodies, we have the ability also to deal with them in our spiritual selves. Some of them we can heal. Some of them we can overcome. Some of them maybe we won't be able to. It doesn't mean you're thrown out of Olam Haba. Doesn't mean you don't have a chance. It doesn't mean you're not there. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. And it doesn't mean you're not close to Him. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Yeshin Yanim, there are some that make you just be limping, be a little bit lacking. V'yesh, however, there are some, Shehu Neged, Harosh V'Halev, Shem Iker Chiyus Nefesh HaKedusha. There are some that will terminate your opportunity to be a part of that experience. The same way there are some things in this world that will terminate our opportunity to continue to live life. There are some mistakes that we can make, or there are some wrongdoings that we can do that are inexcusable. Kimo ha'emuna b'Hashem u'v'tel raso. Let's say a person lives life performing every mitzvah, doing everything the way you're supposed to, you just don't believe in God. Hayitachen, is it imaginable that anyone can argue that that was a life that was a spiritually fulfilling life? God was out of the picture? God wasn't a part of it? I did everything. What do you mean? I kept Shabbos. I just didn't believe in God. I made a bracha. I just don't believe that the person I'm talking to actually exists. I don't believe that he does anything for the world. I don't believe that he's a part of my life. So I did everything the way I was supposed to. I just happened, just a small footnote, I happened not to believe in him. Would anyone argue that that's just a footnote? Or would you say, well, everything that you're doing is probably meaningless? And everything is insignificant. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, "Be'inyan shmiras ha-shabbos, shehu gamken yisod ha-emunah. She'im yechzer lo ha-inyanim ha-heim." If you're missing some of those critical components to what spiritual life is really meant to be about, "Kvar nistalek kol ikar hachiyas minafsho ha-kedusha," you have no spiritual life. You have nothing. It's not that you're just missing something. It's not that you're just going to walk in and be a little bit lacking. If you don't have these critical components, it means you have nothing. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, it's important for a person to put into perspective what those critical components of life really are. And one of those certainly is the laws of Shabbos and observing Shabbos in the proper way. And this is why I was especially happy when people requested that we focus on the laws of Shabbos. Because it's an opportunity for us to focus on the most critical component of our spiritual lives. It's an opportunity for us to heal all of those wounds that perhaps we have created. Some of them perhaps because we may not have the knowledge, which we will educate ourselves. And some perhaps that we just have to remind ourselves every so often. It's very hard to keep Shabbos every week, week in and week out, without ever reviewing the concepts or the principles, without really understanding what it is that we can or cannot do. And in an ever-changing world, when the world keeps on becoming more and more complicated, we need to keep revisiting and we need to keep reevaluating what our Shabbos looks like. So somebody sent me an email last week wanting to know whether or not you're allowed to wear the Aura ring on Shabbos. Now, between me and you, I've never heard of the Aura ring, so I had to watch a video online to see what it was. O-U-R-A. So what is the Aura ring? So for those who are cooler than the Fitbit, everybody here knows what the Fitbit is? So the Fitbit was the last issue we dealt with, but now that's not cool anymore. So now we have the Aura ring. O-U-R-A, you look it up later, is a ring that goes on someone's finger where it is intended to be worn 24 hours a day, and it keeps track of not only your heart rate, but also of all the steps that you take and of your sleeping patterns and of everything that your body does. So you wear it all day and then it really figures out the rhythm of what your body's doing. I'm sure it's a wonderful technology. Problem is, it presents a little bit of an issue with regard to Shabbos, and it's a big question. So what do you do? So I'm not talking about somebody who the doctors say needs it for health and we really want to keep track of everything that's going on in the body. I'm talking about a regular person who doesn't seem to have any major health issues that are presenting them with this problem, and they just want to keep track of everything, and they want to know what they're up to. I don't know, most people who wear the Fitbit, I'm not sure. Are they wearing them because the doctors tell them they absolutely need to wear them? I'll turn to the doctor and ask, is it true? I don't think so. What's my proof? Because many doctors don't wear them themselves. So it makes me wonder, is everybody really wearing it because it's so necessary for our health? Probably not. So the question is, on the Fitbit, so you have an automatic display. Every time you do something, it displays, or if you turn your hand or something of that nature. But here, the Aura ring, what it is it's just recording information. And the only way that that information can be retrieved is when it connects to the Wi-Fi of your phone and it opens up on the app, it will now display everything that it recorded over the last 24 hours or over the last period of time. So this person had a very good question, and that is, are we allowed to use that on Shabbos? After all, nothing's being displayed. All that's happening is information's being recorded. And after Shabbos, when I turn my phone on, now everything's going to transfer to the Wi-Fi, to the app on my phone. And now I'm going to be able to access all that information. Is that an issue on Shabbos? Shabbos is becoming increasingly difficult. And Shabbos is becoming very, very complicated. And it's not easy at all. And that's why it's important for us, whether or not you have the Aura ring, there are plenty of things in our modern kitchens. What? Anybody has one here? So it's a very good question. And let's say, so I was discussing it with someone last week. So I just wanted to see what someone's gut reaction would be, not somebody who has an understanding of the complexity of the issue. I just wanted to see, so what do you say? The person said, come on, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything. Nothing's being displayed. So I asked them, what would you say about, let's say, in the olden days, I know some people grew up with a tape recorder. So there was such a thing that my children will never know of, a tape recorder. When I was young, they were almost obsolete. but now they are completely obsolete. So back in the days when he had a tape recorder, can you press the tape recorder on Erev Shabbos and just have it run recording over Shabbos? That's a very complicated question. So this was discussed back in the days when we had such a thing. This was discussed back then. Can I set up a system where I have everything's recording on Shabbos, and now I'm going to talk into it, and we're going to have conversations at the Shabbos table, and everything's going to be recorded. This way we can have a great time next Shabbos, you know, next week listening to it. That was a big question that was presented in probably 50 years ago as to whether or not we're allowed to make a recording on Shabbos. Well, what could be wrong? Why everything? What am I doing? So I'm talking. What exactly am I doing? I'm not completing a circuit. The circuit was completed before, I would imagine, and I'm not really setting anything up. I set it all up before Shabbos. The same way the Gemara says you're allowed to set up a system before Shabbos, and the Malacha is going to be done on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us that's permissible. Let's say the Gemara says post gemayim lagina melifnei haShabbos. I have a big irrigation system that's set up around my field. The Gemara says clearly in Masechet Shabbos Daf Yud Zayin, you have a right to set it up before Shabbos, press the button, and have all the irrigation being done over Shabbos. So practically, is it a good idea today? Should we do it? Yes or no? It's a good question. If we only have to turn on the sprinklers one day a week or 2 days a week, why have it being done on Shabbos? Why get involved in the question? Okay. However, the Gemara simply seems to be teaching us that as long as the system is set up before Shabbos and I have no involvement, doesn't seem to be a problem. Well, over here, maybe it's worse because I do have an involvement. After all, I am talking into the tape recorder. I am talking into the record player, whatever it is. So how do you deal with that? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was of the opinion that such a thing would be considered makah b'patish mideoraisa. He said that would be considered something that is completing, not a circuit, because the circuit was gone without you, but you are completing a product, and the Torah would forbid that. Now, nowhere will you find in the Psukim, or in Shas, or in the Gemara, or in the Rishonim, or in the Shulchan Aruch, that doing such a thing is considered to be makah b'patish, that would be considered to be a violation on a Torah level. And that's very difficult, to keep reconsidering and reevaluating where we stand with certain issues. And what can possibly be the problem with wearing a ring? I wear the ring every day, it doesn't seem to be a nuisance to me at all, maybe the ring is even nice. I don't know exactly how they make it, but I would imagine they make it in a way where it doesn't look strange on your finger. So this is a major question, and these are questions that we all have to think about. My father told me recently, I was talking to him about something, he said, you know, the greatness of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was, his genius was in his common sense. You know, you have to look at a situation and understand, what does it mean? It's true, common sense is not so common, as I've come to learn, but it's true. You look at some of the Psukim of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and it just makes sense. I was giving a shiur the other week about something totally unrelated to this, and the question was, how do you determine whether or not an annex of Yerushalayim that is built subsequently after the Yerushalayim proper is built, whether or not it's considered to be an official part of Yerushalayim or not? So you have all these configurations, how close it is, how far it is, let's measure, let's figure that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman throws something into the mix that you don't find anywhere, but it just makes so much sense. He writes, does the garbage truck say Iriyat Yerushalayim or not? Do you pay your taxes to Yerushalayim or do you not? So no sefer halach is going to tell you that. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. But let's use our brains. Let's use our common sense. Does it make sense? Is this considered to be part of Yerushalayim or is it not? Well, let's see. Is your mailman driving the truck that delivers the mail to Yerushalayim? Does the garbage truck have on it a sign that says Iriyat Yerushalayim? If yes, then it means you're a part of it. If not, then you're not. So common sense is extremely important. You have to have the right kind of common sense. I wouldn't suggest that we all use our own common sense, but the greatness of Rav Shlomo Zalman was that in trying to infuse the halachic process with his own common sense, he came up with psukim that were groundbreaking psukim and very important for our generation. And here too. So he was faced with a dilemma. What do we do with regard to the laws of Shabbos when we're faced with all these new modern issues that we've never dealt with before? How would you categorize something like making a recording on Shabbos, which today, what would you do about the Aura Ring, which has absolutely no display, like a tape recorder? You don't see anything as it's recording, but you certainly are creating something. So would you consider that to be a malacha or not? And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said he would assume that that is considered to be a malacha midaraisa on Shabbos. And my father felt the same would be with this ring. Now again, if you have somebody who needs it for medical purposes and the doctors feel it is very important to record the information, it's a very different story. And we have to obviously reevaluate under those conditions. But talking generally about somebody who doesn't really need it for any critical reason, any medical reason, so there's a lot of room to argue that that should be a very questionable thing to make use of on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz writes in his Sefer Yaros Devash. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz was one of the great gedolim at the end of the 1700s. He writes of MS Ashrei Hashomrim Shabbos Karoi. Praised are the people who keep Shabbos properly. Ki bo bachar Hashem Yisrael lizgulaso, because that is the day where God set aside to spend time with all of us. V'yomze chemdas uzgulas hayamim. This is supposed to be the delight of our week. V'ilu shamri Yisrael Shabbos Karoi hayu negalim. The Gemara tells us if only we kept Shabbos properly, we would be redeemed. Uba avon oseinu harabim. He says, unfortunately, ein anu nizharim bekama dinim. We are not careful with regard to many aspects of the laws of Shabbos. Melachos v'toldos, we have some primary violations, we have some secondary violations, we have muksa, we have isurim derabanan. Baal Harov, he says, I don't believe that most people are evil people. I don't believe that most people deliberately want to violate the laws of Shabbos. He says, Al Harov, for the most part, it's machmas chisaron hayediyah. It's just because we simply don't know. When was the last time we sat down and learned through the laws of Shabbos properly? Kibavon Oseinu HaRabim, he says, Nefishi v'chamiri hilchos Shabbos. The laws of Shabbos have become so much more complicated and so much more intricate. And if he's writing this in the 1700s, can you imagine, in the last 200 years, what has happened? Shabbos back then was a joke. Shabbos today and all the things we are faced with in our generation are so much more complicated. Somebody just sent me yesterday, a rabbi in New Jersey sent me pages and pages of articles that were just printed in Hebrew. I didn't see it on my own until he sent it. I wasn't aware. Pages and pages, probably 40, 50 pages, all about the new refrigerators and what do we do about the motors on the new refrigerators, not the same as the old ones, and all the tshuvas that were written 30 years ago about the refrigerators. Now we have to reevaluate and reconsider and figure out whether or not our refrigerators need a new mechanism to be placed inside. It's so complicated. All I'm trying to do is have a refrigerator. But it's just not simple anymore. And nothing's simple in our world that we live in. You know, another 5-10 years, we're going to have a smart world. We're going to have a smart house. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're going to have to lie in your bed the whole Shabbos. And it's just not so easy. You can't even go to the bathroom. So, again, as Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz writes in his days, Shabbos is becoming extremely complicated. And if that's what he wrote 250 years ago, it's certainly become a lot more complicated since that time. And he says, "Ve'ein kor b'ham lishma lilmod ulamed velasos." How many people sit down and read the practical svarim about how am I going to keep Shabbos properly this week? Lomdim rak makom pilpul. He says, we see something interesting here, something interesting there, and we read a nice question, kushia piruka v'chidud. Bottom line, how many people know the laws? Are you allowed to take this out of the oven on Shabbos? Am I allowed to leave this refrigerator on? Am I allowed to have this technology in my house? Can I open the drawer that has the garbage can on it? Am I allowed to do that or not? Am I allowed to clear off the table? Am I allowed to use the chicken bones that are on my plate after I have a dirty plate on Shabbos? Can I knock them off into the garbage? Do they have to be knocked off on their own? Shabbos is very complicated. Shabbos is very, very complicated. It's not easy at all. And the question is, how many of us make time to actually sit down and figure out what we are allowed to do and what we are not? Now, you all got nervous when I said about the chicken bones. The answer is it's mutter. Some things on Shabbos are allowed. I was giving an example of something you're allowed to do, but it is a question that the Gemara discusses. So maybe that's muksa. Now they have absolutely no use, the chicken bones that are now not edible any longer. What are you going to do with them? So why are you allowed to take the plate and knock off the chicken bone with the knife on Shabbos when you're handling something that is muksa? The truth is, on Yom Tov, the Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate that that would not, might not be permissible. So this is not simple at all. Something as mundane as that, something as mundane and as routine as that, we would say, it's all right. As I said many times, I can talk to the walls. It's okay. Anyway, so writes Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. Bibakasha mikem acha yubana, he says, I beg of you. He's talking to his community. He's pleading with them. He says, Ein drasha she'ein ani mazir eschem. There is not a time that I get up publicly in my community where I don't talk about leval tufalsu or achayim lilmud oso heitev, where I don't stress the importance of making sure that we learn the day-to-day intricate laws of life. To figure out, he says, Shimu l'mamari, please take my words with sincerity, ubifrat hilchos Shabbos v'yamtiv, lishmer ma'adei Hashem karoi, ki heim mikroi kodesh, veheim hamaginim aleinu. And he writes, unless a person, he writes in the next drasha, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes the halacha, he says, Roy v'nachon l'chol yari v'chari d'dvar Hashem. It is praiseworthy of a person, lekonein chaburos lilmud hilchos Shabbos, to get together and to convene to study the laws of Shabbos together, kedei shelo yikashlu bam. Because unless we make time to study the laws of Shabbos, it is almost impossible that we can keep up with our world and with how the integration of the laws of Shabbos and our world are supposed to be living together. Let us end with a comment of the Stipler. In his Sefer Chayei Olam, the Stipler writes the following, Nitzayer la'atzmeinu. When he thinks, he says, about the laws of Shabbos, he says, I have the following imagery. Ilu haya barer bebirur gamur. Let's say we knew with certainty. Shekala machalo Shabbos be'isur da'araisa derabbanan. Let's say God would tell us that somebody who violates any law of Shabbos, whether great or small, whether significant or not, whether something that you think is important or not, anybody who violates any law of Shabbos, matzmiach lo miyad sartan rachmana litzlan begufo, will grow a cancerous tumor that will take over their body, that they will die from. Imagine if that's what the Torah said. God forbid, but it's not what the Torah says. It says, imagine if that's what the Torah said. Kama haya chared al chashash chilul Shabbos. Can you imagine? So you have somebody who does a physical exam on their own body and they find the smallest abnormality. And they run to a specialist and they want to get it checked out and say, no, it's not good enough. I have to go to another one. I have to go check it out. You run around all over the place to make sure that what everybody's telling you is correct, that really there's nothing to be worried about. When are you going to be calm? After you've gone to all the specialists and had the biopsies and all the testing done, then you'll be comfortable and you'll say, okay, I think I'm okay. I was nervous, there was something growing, there was something unusual, something abnormal. Now I'm finally at ease. Writes the Stipler. V'lo ha'yasomech al kol man dehu sheyomer lo muter lach. Would you just go to your pediatrician and show them this abnormality and say, I'm just wondering, you have anything to say about this? He said, no, it's nothing to worry about, it's okay. Would that make you comfortable? I would imagine not. In our world where we see so much happening, where we unfortunately have so much illness, where we see the consequence of people not taking those kinds of signs seriously, who that's responsible would just go to a very preliminary doctor who has no expertise in this area and just present them the question and say, okay, I'm fine, let me go back to life, let me go back to work, everything's fine. You would run around till you know the answer with certainty to that question. Lo ha'yasomech al kol man dehu sheyomer lo muter lach. Imagine, he says, if Shabbos would present the same kind of consequence. Imagine if violating the laws of Shabbos would immediately make a person that sick. He says the same way you wouldn't run to the simple pediatrician, not saying pediatricians are nothing, but they just might not have expertise in these areas. But the same way you wouldn't go to somebody who doesn't have expertise in this area, how can you go on Shabbos and assume, you Google a question that you have and you assume that's going to be the right answer? Would you do that if you found something on your own body that you weren't sure about? You would just Google it and look at the pictures and say, oh, it looks fine. Who would do such a thing? No one would ever dream of doing such a thing. No one would ever rely on such a thing. So he writes, but that's the way we have an attitude toward the laws of Shabbos. So I'm not sure about something, I'll Google it, I'll find out. Well, who said that's right? The same way who said it's right in any other area that's critical to our lives. V'im b'shvil sakana shel chayi ha'olam hazeh ha'cholef. If a person who is so concerned about their life in this world, Charid kol kach, would be so nervous, would take so many precautions to make sure that they're doing everything the right way, that they're looking after themselves. Alachas kama v'kama. Sheyecharid ha'adam, a person should be nervous, should be concerned, should be vigilant. Al gidol sartan, on a cancerous tumor growing, shel chayiv krisus uskila, from something that's far worse than that which inflicts our bodies. Al sartan shel dino ka'ovid avarazara, on that which, if we make the mistake, will make us lose our status as being called a Jew, like we said earlier. Al sartan shel hilhurei kfira achmana letzlan asher kozek kosher bechilo Shabbos. He says, after all, the Torah says, ki osi beini uveinechem. Shabbos is considered the sign of our connection between ourselves and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shabbos is the opportunity for ourselves to usher in the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence into our own homes. We do Kabbalah Shabbos, as we mentioned, because we are the host. We are ushering in our guest into our homes. It's the time when God visits our home. And we're not going to be nervous. And we're not going to be concerned. This is the defining characteristic of what a Jew is all about. And we're just going to Google it. And we're just going to knock it off that simply. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, it would make sense that we treat it with at least the same or perhaps more severity or alacrity to the areas of life that we would take seriously for our physical selves. So this is really what Shabbos is all about. And this is why, like we mentioned from the Chafetz Chaim, if Shabbos is really the heart and soul of what a Jewish practicing Orthodox person is all about, then, writes the Chafetz Chaim, it needs so much more attention, as we mentioned. And this is why I am excited to be studying the laws of Shabbos, not only so that together we can all educate ourselves, but that we can have a greater appreciation for the complexity of what the laws of Shabbos are all about, and to perhaps keep Shabbos a little bit more carefully than we have been in the past. So, Amir Tzashem, next week, we will continue.